Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians. We are in chapter 5. I'm going to step back slightly to the start of the chapter, and we're going to go through chapters 5 and 6 today, God willing. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, this is God's word. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who's an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, 'Get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me so that you may be informed. I'm sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God tells us that we are not to live the way that we did before we knew Christ, and that we are not to live in the way that the world around us lives. It should never surprise us that people who don't know Christ live as if they're spiritually dead, because they are. It should not surprise us that their values would be perverted, twisted, that their view of reality would be a twisted view. That doesn't mean we despise them. This letter begins by saying all of us were the same way before we knew Christ. Now, if you don't remember what it was to be that way because you had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home where you were taught the truth from an early age, thank the Lord for that. But let me tell you, no matter how early you came to faith in Christ, it was a radical transformation. You were transferred from the kingdom of death and darkness into the kingdom of light. The fact of the matter is, all of us, no matter how cute we look when we are born, in our natural state, are sinners. We don't become sinners by sinning. We demonstrate that we are sinners by sinning. But we are by nature sinful creatures. And God is the only one who's able to take the blinders off our eyes and give us a new heart, taking away the heart of stone, giving us a heart of flesh. Salvation is God's doing, and he alone is to be praised. So when we see other people acting like that, on the one hand, don't be just shocked. Recognize, well, that makes sense if you're spiritually dead and spiritually blind and deceived and so forth. That makes sense. But the other error that some people make is to say, well, that's just kind of, that's our culture. That's the way we do things now. The devil doesn't care which of those two ditches you go into. He just wants you to go into one or the other. But a biblical view says that's wrong, and what else would you expect from folks who need to know Jesus? We are going to live differently. He talks about some things being so shameful, it's not even okay to speak of them. But he says our job is to expose them. Ah, now that's what some folks want to sign up for. We're going to go around and we're going to show what these bad people are doing. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says the way you expose them is by living as light in this world. And if you and I will shine, it will cause people to see there's a contrast, there's a difference. And the only way that's possible is God's Spirit operating through us.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, we should live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. The question is, does this please Him? Not, well, I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about that. It really doesn't matter that much how you feel about it. The question is, what does God think of it? The rest of us need to get in step with Him. Pay careful attention, verse 15 of chapter 5. Pay careful attention then to how you live. In other words, don't live an unexamined life. This does not mean become a navel gazer who just sits around constantly thinking about yourself. It does mean you need to examine, why am I doing this? Is this something God would have me do? Is this pleasing to Him? Be careful, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know plenty of folks who are. Thank you, son. I know plenty of folks who are. And this would be better translated, be being filled with the Spirit. On the one hand, it's a command. It's not just counsel. On the other hand, it's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time event. We are in an ongoing way to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? That means you yield control to Him. If you're filled with anger, it means anger's in the driver's seat. If you're filled with jealousy, it means that jealousy is controlling your thoughts and actions. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it means you have surrendered yourself to Him in an ongoing way, deliberately, intentionally asking Him to come and live His life through you. That's the way that we are to live. And what will it look like? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. So the way we communicate with each other and the way we communicate with Him should be worshipful, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, what immediately follows is a section on marriage. And it says here that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. and that husbands are supposed to love their wives. But if you listen to Christian radio and you read a lot of Christian books and you watch a lot of Christian sermons, you'll find that folks have figured out now that doesn't really mean that wives are supposed to be in a position of submission. Because the verse right before it says submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So it uses wives as an example, but husbands, of course, are also supposed to submit to their wives. What you have is a democracy where the husband and the wife each have one vote. That's called gridlock, and a lot of the people who recommend that really have broken marriages, just so you know, okay? Well, are you saying that the patriarchal model is a more biblical model? Well, actually, yes, I am. But before I go further, let me say that tons of the people who are vigorously defending the patriarchal model, which says that the husband and the father is supposed to be in charge, are really twisted individuals who use that as a club in order to abuse their families. Is there a third way? Okay. Actually, it's called doing this. When it says submit to one another in the fear of Christ, it then gives three examples of relationships where submission does not come naturally, but it is to be a manifestation of grace. And the first example he uses is that of a wife who, unlike the culture around her, is supposed to submit to her husband out of reverence for Christ. And the husband's role in this relationship is, like Christ, to love his wife to the point of laying down his own life. Not being a selfish little dictator who thinks my home is my castle and my word is law. If that's your attitude, you don't look a thing like Christ. But if you love your wife in a sacrificial way, a Christ-like way, it is not horribly difficult for the wife to submit, but it still requires that she die to self. In order to live this way, basically, you've got to have the Holy Spirit operating through you. If you say, well, I'm still just not sure. I really like the egalitarian model. So do you carry that on over to the next category? Children, obey your parents? Really, the parents ought to be submitting to the kids just as much as the kids submit to the parents. Is that right? If you do that, you will not only be violating Scripture, because this isn't the only place in Scripture that talks about the responsibility of parents to discipline their children. You will not only be violating Scripture, but as the Scripture warns, you will be hating your child. If you do not discipline your children, you hate them. You harm them. And this is not mutual submission, children and parents. This is children submitting and parents loving their children and leading them well. And then the third example that he gives is that of slaves and masters. Is he suggesting that masters ought to submit to the slaves just as slaves submit to the masters? No, he says, masters, you need to recognize you have a master. And he loves your slave just like he loves you. So you better treat your slave right. That doesn't mean you're not the boss. It means that when you're the boss, you treat others lovingly. You care about them. You look out for them. And if you are in the position of being the slave, as most of these folks were, you are to do your work not just when you're being watched, but knowing that you're being watched all the time by God and you're doing it for Him. So, hierarchy is a manifestation of the Godhead. God designed the universe that way. It reflects His nature, His glory. It is good. If hierarchy is used to abuse others, that is satanic. But when hierarchy operates in love the way it does in the Godhead, it is a beautiful thing. Because the eternal God has eternally had hierarchy within his nature, within his being. And if you want to know God, you can't take hierarchy out of it. So when couples display this kind of loving relationship, the wife loving the husband by submitting to him, and the husband loving the wife by serving her needs even as he leads, then you have a beautiful picture that displays the glory of God. And that is his plan and design. Now, back earlier in this book, we talked about the fact that we must not let the sun go down while we're still angry. And I just skimmed right over the next phrase, which says, don't do that because you don't want to give the devil a foothold. The most common satanic foothold, area of bondage, open door for Satan's work in a person's life, is unforgiveness. That is the most common foothold where a person holds on to their anger. Instead of forgiving, they hold on to that anger. They give Satan a foothold in their life. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the fact that we are at war, not with each other. We're at war with spiritual forces, unseen forces, that are out to destroy us and destroy our witness. And we've got to recognize when we're in conflict, when we're having a problem, that we have an adversary, and it's not that person over there, that person over there. Our adversary is the devil. And so we need to stand against the schemes of the devil, having put on the full armor of God. God has given us what we need for victory against the enemy. And all the pieces of the armor are found in the person of Christ. So here, Paul gives a list. He talks about truth, like a belt around your waist. Righteousness, like armor on your chest. Your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. But you know what? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our righteousness. And Jesus is our peace. He's what the good news is all about. All the aspects of the armor are found in him. And so we read elsewhere in the scriptures, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to clothe ourselves with him. We are to find our identity in him. And then, as we take up the shield of faith, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Take up the helmet of salvation. He is our salvation. He is the Word of God. As we take up the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand against these spiritual forces. And we are to pray at all times in the Spirit, staying alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. And Paul says, pray for me too. Folks, this is the way we're to live. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be communing with God. His Holy Spirit lives within the believer. And we have the capacity to just learn to offer ourselves up to him, cry out to him, depending on him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.